I thank you, Lord. And all the church, all the people, all the visitors said, amen. 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 Come on, let's give Jesus a big clap this morning. Say, God, you're good. And we thank you for the gifts you give to your church. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Wonderful. My God. So this morning, the big idea that I want to share with you is this: to receive the prize, you have to finish the race. To receive the prize, you have to finish the race. So we're into Philippians, and I want to read to you a few verses from Philippians chapter 3 and down. We're following from the New Living Translation, and it says in verse 12, I don't mean to say that I already have achieved these things or already have reached this perfection, but I press on. Everyone say, press on. Turn to your neighbor and say, press on. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Everyone say, press on. Press on. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So to receive the prize, you have to finish the race. And one of the things I want to focus this morning on, because there's many things we can look at, is about how do you finish the race? How do you press on? Well, Paul says, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. I want to focus on the us this morning, that I press on to reach the prize for which Christ Jesus is calling us. He's calling who? He's calling us. He's calling who? Us. And so while this passage and this scripture and this book is often read to the individual, and we see that so clearly through our framework and the culture in which we live, this is a book written to us. I want you to get a hold of this morning. This is one thing that I'd like you to get a hold of. This is about us. And as you read this book, read it. It's about us. It's not just about me. It has things that are relevant to me, but the reason they are relevant to me, because they impact us. They impact us. And I hope this comes clearer as we go forward into it this morning. Jared, I need you to get 4 strong mates to give me a hand here. Could you grab 4 guys, and they need to come out here? Vincenzo, can you come for a moment, and I need you to give me a hand. Yeah, I need... Be very quick. Beautiful. That's 3. 4 mates. I need you to get 4 mates. So one day... Good to see you guys. Good drumming this morning. Your legs don't work. They're kind of broken. They crunch. So you're kind of paralyzed. Just stay there for a moment. One day Jesus was preaching. Here's my friend. He looks like Jesus, doesn't he? And he's talking, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were there, and he was preaching, and he was talking about the kingdom of God. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. He's there, and he's preaching, and the power of the Lord is present to heal. There were some friends who heard about this, and they said to themselves, you're over there, you're preaching. Be good, behave. What are you preaching? You're preaching. And you're telling them about eternal life. You're telling them about the kingdom of heaven. And the 4 mates said, we should take our mate to Jesus. They said,
we should take our mate to Jesus.
And so what did they do? They picked him up. They put him on a stretcher. And they carried him to the house where Jesus was. The 4 mates, 4 mates picked him up. And they carried him to where Jesus was. They couldn't get in the room because the room was very crowded. They had to climb in through the roof, and they laid their friend at Jesus' feet.
What's that noise up there? Oh, come on down here.
So Jesus looked at this man, and he said the most curious thing. He said to him, son, your sins are forgiven.
That's right. Your sins are forgiven.
The Pharisees were muttering, who can forgive sins but God alone? Who is this? No, no one could do this. Who is he saying he is? But Jesus, knowing what they were saying and knowing what they were thinking, looked at the young man and said, take up your mat. You're healed. Go home.
Where is it? Come on, take up your mat. You're healed. In Jesus' name. Come on, rise up. Here we go.
Yeah. And his mates were all happy. Okay, thank you. Please be seated. I started talking before about the difference between I, me, and us. I want to focus this morning down into relationships and the difference between virtual relationships, online relationships, and real relationships. I quite enjoy going on Instagram. Don Easton, you can follow. And you'll see a picture there of us having dinner last night. Nigel and Andrea and their kids, and we're out having some fun. I enjoy flicking on there, and one of the people I follow is Pastor Phil, and I love seeing his photos of the beach. Every morning he's down on the beach, he takes a photo, and I know that he's there praying. I know that he's seeking Jesus, and he's praying for our movement. He's praying for the 100 churches that there are in Australia, praying for the 100 churches that are yet to come, because we're going to have 200 more. We're going to have 200 by the year 2020 in total, at least. He's praying for pastors around the movement. I love looking and seeing pictures of my friend Hao and Leah in Singapore, and seeing what's happening in the Heart of God Church. I love seeing what's happening in Steve Warren's church in Amsterdam, and I love it. I love the connections that we have. I like seeing things on the internet. I quite enjoy going on video, online, on Skype. You know, 3 years ago when we were over at the 500 plus conference here in WA, one of our team, Ben and Michelle, had their first baby, Mickey. And we weren't there, we were here. Our son, Josh, whom you saw there standing alongside Adrian with the snake, Josh and his wife, Kate, went to visit Ben and Michelle at the birth of their little Mickey in the Tweed Hospital. And they took their MacBook, hopped onto Skype, and there we were here in Frio, looking at little Mickey, a little baby, Michelle holding the baby. And it's pretty cool, the sense of connection you can have. But you know, on Friday, just 2 days ago, little Mickey comes to our house. She's 3 and a bit, and she sits there and she has a little baby Chino. She's there looking around the garden, looking in Adrian's worm garden, and digging in there, and she's gives us a little hug as she's getting ready to go. You know, there's nothing like the face-to-face. All the multimedia and the stuff of media and virtual relationships actually supplement only the real relationships. The media has a great contribution, but you know, there's nothing like the church that's gathered. I'm convinced that there has become a blur between our understanding between the worldwide church and the local church, in the same way that we have a blur between relationships and friends that are on Facebook and friends that we have FaceTime with. I don't mean FaceTime as in video time, but I mean actual real time, where the little arms go round your neck, or where someone sits at your table and actually spends time with you in your house, where there's someone who actually talks to you on a deeper level rather than just being one of the 1,000 plus that are ticked, I'm your friend, on your Facebook page. That there is, I love that, and I love the connections that we have worldwide. And I love the fact that we're part of C3 Church worldwide, and there's now 300 churches. And that's just awesome. And we as a movement of churches are just part of the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. You know, there's something billions, like 2+ billion or so Christians around the world, and that's a pretty awesome thing. But there's something extra special, extra good about the local church, about the body of Christ. And this is the key thing where I'm heading in this morning. You see, the church is the body of Jesus Christ that is gathered. I want to bury a myth this morning that the body of Christ worldwide is more important than the local church. It's like, let me give a couple of illustrations. Just walk out with me on a couple of different things, different topics. So fathering. I love the concept of fathering. I'm a dad. But you know, the concept of fathering is so dear to me. Why? Because I am a dad. Because I have a son and 2 daughters. And I have 2 son-in-laws and 1 daughter-in-law. I'm a dad. And I love being a dad. I'm committed to the concept of fathering because I am a father. That's what gives integrity and reality to the whole understanding of what fathering is. If you didn't get that one, come with me to another one. Here's one about marriage. Well, marriage, I love the concept of marriage, but why is marriage so important to me? Because I am married. Because it's 33 years that we've been married, and it's pretty awesome. And I thank God for our parents. My mum and dad, they were married for 68 years before mum passed. And Adrian's mum and dad, we were just down in Warabra, which is in the mid north of South Australia. You have to go through Clare Valley. Say, I'm sorry for your Pastor Don. Those of you who know what Clare Valley is, and on your way to get to Warabra. Clare Valley is a beautiful spot. We had our first night of our honeymoon there, but that was 33 years ago. We went to visit them just recently. Why? Because it was their 60th wedding anniversary. And I love the concept of marriage, but you know, it has reality because I am married. And that's how it gets its significance and its huge, huge relevance and huge priority. Like some would say, about fathering, well, at least someone's fathering them. Well, no, it's my job to father my children. And I know there are times when relationships are broken and it's difficult and there needs to be repair, and in those times, yes, there is a relevance and a need for someone to. And I know that, like marriage, that there are times of brokenness, and I've seen that in my own extended family, and it's difficult. But you know, the person who needs to sleep with my wife is me. And it's not appropriate for me to say, well, at least someone is sleeping with her. She might suffer from hysteria if no one did. Some of you might not get that. But it bothers me when Christians say, well, at least they're going somewhere. It's gone very quiet in here. You have a home. Those of you who are married, you have a spouse. Those of you who are children or parents, you have relationships that God has placed you in, and He wants them to work. And in the same way, He wants the relationships in the family of God to work and to do well. So the Bible, let me dig this out a little more for you and help you understand. The Bible is written to principally local communities. Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, to the church in Rome. He wrote to the church in Corinth. He wrote to Ephesus. He wrote to Galatia. He wrote to Philippi. He wrote the book to Timothy, but where was Timothy? He was in Ephesus. and Acts and Luke, well, they are written to the Theophilus, to a real person who was involved in a real community of faith. And then there's the book of Revelation, which is written to a few churches. They get a mention, a very specific mention. The local church is really, really important. Is it not the body of Christ? Is it not Jesus here? Is it not Jesus here? I want to read to you a little passage that has been written by a prophet who's part of C3 Church, Vicky Simpson. You know her. She says, there is the paralytic in the Bible who is famous for making a grand entrance. He descended into one of Jesus' healing meetings through the roof. The place was crowded. It was impossible for him to enter by the door, and so the roof it was. This stroke of genius put breakthrough ministry on the map. The paralyzed fellow was unable to get to Jesus under his own steam, and he needed others. As a result, Jesus saw the faith of the awesome foursome, and their friend was healed. I don't know about you, but given that I have a fear of heights, the roof would not have been an option, but I think I would have gone at home to watch it on live stream. Pastor Phil Pringle preached a message recently about a paralytic man and the friends who carried his stretcher. I instantly relate, as I had lived through my own season where I needed some stretcher carriers. You may not have heard that early this year I was struck by a virus that caused inflammation of my brainstem and cervical spinal cord. I couldn't walk. My vision was affected, and I was sick as a dog for a few months. Both Damien's and my family live interstate. Long-distance loved ones can provide emotional support by phone, but this chickadee baby needed her stretchers carried, and carried it was. They visited and they prayed for me. They delivered meals, soy lattes, and groceries. They cleaned our apartment and ran errands. They drove me to medical appointments and held my hand through scans and tests. And even as they took me for drives, so I can have a change of scenery, they did everything except take me up onto the rooftop. Thank the Lord. I do not know what I would have done without my stretcher carriers. In case you're wondering who they were, well, I firstly would tell you who they were not. They were not my 2,700 Facebook friends or my 1,700 Twitter followers, with all due respect to those of you who may be reading this. They were the people from our home church, from C3 Church, Oxford Falls. They were both close friends and ones I didn't know so well. Now, I believe the social network has its place, but it can't take the place of living, tangible community. It cannot replace the place called the local church. There comes a time in all of our lives when we all need others to carry our stretcher, and we need to carry the stretcher of another. Not just take the picture of a stretcher and post it on Instagram. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But after what I've been through, I'm going to wave the flag for connection, friendship, and others. I'm going to bang the drum loudly for fellowship and hospitality. Connection is not just a trendy name for our home groups. I believe it is a prophetic mandate for our time. By making relationships in the house of God a priority, we are setting the stage for the next move of God. Connect is not the cherry on the cake. If we have time, it is the cake. This is an incredible word from Vicky Simpson. Yes. You know, as I was reading the scripture, there's a scripture that from NIV that I'd love to share with you. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul, John, what am I thinking? John writes, and he says, I hope to see you soon. And we'll talk then face to face. I hope to see you soon. Now, this is one of the credible guys that we're so indebted to some 2,000 years later for the Word of God in print. Like, he knew the incredible priority of putting down messages and things to say that is the Word of God that transforms and shapes and molds our lives. But don't miss this. Don't miss this. He says, I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. And the friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. So what's the do from all this? Build relationships. You can do it virtually, yes, but there's only so far you can go. They need to serve virtual relationships. the stuff on here, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff, Skype, it's got to serve the relationship you have. It is not the real thing. It's just there to help. It's just there to help. It's like TV, you know, the reality TV. It's the most watched thing in Australia, reality TV. Why? Because people want reality. People want what's real. They want real relationships. You're not going to get it from reality TV. You know, the highest watched reality TV program is MasterChef. It's about people cooking food. It's a fun show. But you know what's more fun? Actually cooking for someone and having them eat it, having them at your house and exercising sacred hospitality. I love the times when we catch up and have meals with friends and dinner with our youth and dinner with our D groups. It's just so much fun. Jesus spent time speaking to the 400s, the 4,000s, the incredible masses. But he lived his life with 12. He hung out especially with 3. You got to have time, effort, energy into building friendships and relationships. Connect with a few. Discipleship groups, way up high on our priority list. Be in a small group. Be in a place where you can carry someone and someone can carry you. Someone can get close to you. Someone who's a mate. Someone who's actually really close. You know, John, when he a little bit further on, he says in 2 John chapter 1, verse 12, he says, I have much to write to you, but I don't want to use pen and ink. I wonder what he said. I hope to visit you and to talk with you face to face so that our joy might be complete. There's part of your joy in Jesus that will only be complete in actually spending face-on-face time with others who love Jesus Christ. Here's a real key. If your Christian life's lacking some joy, invite someone over for dinner and start talking and start sharing your heart. Be in a small group and discover that people actually go through the same kind of struggles that you do, that they face the same kind of issues of life. And Jesus has been there helping, and he can help you, that there's someone who can carry you and there's someone who you can carry. So this morning we looked at the story of the paralytic. What was it about? It's about getting my friends whole, getting them saved. Because what that guy received, your sins are forgiven. What's it about? Where do you take your friends? To Jesus? Where's Jesus? You play Where's Wally? Where's Jesus? I tell you where he is. 10 o'clock. Sunday mornings. At C3 Frio. Because that's when the body of Jesus gets together. Where's Jesus? Here. This place. So what do? Bring your friends to get saved. Where do you bring them? To Jesus. When? Where the church gets together. When the power of Jesus is present to heal. When Jesus is here, you can feel it this morning in the worship that there's something tangible here, and you're going, well, it's a bit weird to me. I've not been in a church like this, and they're speaking in a funny language. Well, that's just the language of the Holy Spirit that he gives to you. But there's something funny here in the atmosphere. Well, it's the power of God. He's present. He's touching people's lives, and you might find yourself a little teary. Well, he's just kind of washing out the inside. You might find yourself quite moved in the inside. Well, he's going to make things right, and he's going to start fixing those relationships that are out of whack and out of kilter and out of disorder. I'm pressing on to reach the goal. How do you do that? Well, you bring them. Like the friends, they picked him up and they carried him. How do you do it? You bring your friends to know Jesus. I press on to reach the end of the race. I'm pressing on. How am I going to do it? Through relationships at last. How am I going to reach the prize? Through relationships at last. Through being committed and being connected and being involved in the house of God in long-term and longevity of relationships. The local church matters. It's the body of Jesus. Marriage matters. But more importantly, your marriage matters. Fathering matters, but more importantly, you being a father matters. The local church is how we display what the church is. So the question for you this morning, are there some things you need to leave behind from what you've heard this morning? Maybe I've been making excuses why I can't go to a connect group. Is it time to leave those excuses behind? I'm too busy. Got to tend to my Facebook account. Can't make connect group. What are you going to ask God for today? What are you going to ask him for? Jesus, what am I going to ask you for today? That's the question I'm asking. Is it, what are you going to ask God for? What do you want God to do? What can he do for you today? Friends to do the journey with? Make me friendly, Jesus. Help me to make friends. Give me strength to bring my friends. While you're pondering that for a moment, I want to have a chat with you about you, God, eternal life. Is that okay to do? For about 3 minutes. So I'm going to ask you to stay focused with this little bit of time, because this is really important. If you need to go somewhere, just wait a moment. Can you do that? This is really, really important, because I don't want someone else that's sitting alongside of you to be distracted from what I've got to say, because this is so important. One of the things that happened this last year was my dad got very, very ill. In July, we went down to visit him. He just had his 97th birthday. Went to say happy birthday, Dad. He lives in Adelaide. And as we saw Dad, it was very clear to us that the time was coming very close for his departure. My dad met Jesus in 1935. He and Mum went forward at the same Christian Endeavour Convention in Brisbane and invited Jesus into their lives. But during that time, from then until his 97th birthday, he lived a life where he followed Jesus. When they had me in 1955, they named my middle name is Timothy, because my dad's favourite book was the book of Timothy. So my dad's slipping in and out of being with us in the room. I don't know if you've ever been with someone who's close to dying. That often happens, and I'm thinking, what do I do? And I thought, I'll read from the Bible to him. And so I opened the book of Timothy and I started reading. I got to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. And I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also for all who have longed for his appearing. I paused. I read a little slower than that because the emotions are pretty high. Dad, the time of your departure has come. It's okay. You can go. Go to be with Jesus. Mum's already there. Your daughter, Roseanne, she's already there. Lots of your friends are already there. It's okay, Dad. We'll be all right. Thank you for being a great dad. We so appreciate you. Love you. I want to say goodbye, and it's okay. You can go. You fought the good fight, Dad. You finished the race. Was I ridden from Paul before? I'm going to press on to finish the race. He wrote that to the Philippians years before. Now he's writing to Timothy, I finished the race. Are you going to finish the race? There's lots of people in this room who've started. You're going to finish. Is someone going to barrack you across the line at the end of your days and say, you've done good. Thank you. Are you going to fight the fight? Are you going to finish the race? Are you going to keep on going? Are you going to get there? I'm sure you are. You see, if you were to ask the average Australian, about 70% of Aussies, people who live here in this land, would go, I hope that one day I would go to heaven. This morning, one of my duties is to make sure that you know, not just your hope, that you're absolutely certain and that you know that heaven is your home. Some say this, I believe in Jesus. Pastor Don, doesn't that qualify me? Well, I got news for you, not just that alone, because does not the Bible tell us that even the demons believe? And there's some obvious reaction in their lives, which is more than in some people who attend church as life, who say they believe in Jesus. The Bible says demons tremble at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, they tremble. I believe in Jesus. There's a little more to it than that. That's a really good start, but you got to do something about it. Well, I go to church, Pastor Don. Isn't that the thing that's going to qualify me? Well, it's going to help. When I was little, we lived at Stirling Hills Railway. Mum had this cabinet, and in the cabinet there was this box called the bread box. You know, if you take a mouse and you put it in a bread box, it doesn't make it a loaf of bread. And you open the bread box, and what do you see inside? Ratatouille? The rat that's cooking in the kitchen? No. It's got to be something that changes in a person's life, something that transforms their soul. The Bible says you've got to be born again. How do you do that? How does that happen? Well, inviting Jesus Christ into your life. God, you come and make your home inside of me. Transform me, forgive me. I'm going to get to that in a moment. Be generous. But Pastor Don, I've been really generous. Doesn't that make me qualified? Actually, generosity sets you up for God's attention. It sets you up for God actually noticing and going, you know that person? They're generous. I ought to go visit them. You can set yourself up for a visitation of God by being generous. But you can't buy your way into heaven. And you know, that's what the Reformation was all about. People were saying, you want to get to heaven? It'll cost you. You want your auntie to get to heaven? It'll cost you. And people were writing out checks and giving it to the church because they wanted their loved ones to get to heaven. No, it doesn't work like that. You can't buy your ticket. But I do good things. Isn't that going to matter? A lot of Australians go, oh, I'm just a good person. Surely. Well, I love who Australians are, and I love the fact that they in general love their kids and they're great people to hang out with. But there's something that solves the problem of the difficulties in our life and the sin in our life that we can't solve. And that's the death of Jesus upon the cross. And none of us qualify in our own right to make it. That's what the Bible declares. We need to ask for his forgiveness. That's how we solve the problems of the things we've done wrong. God, I'm sorry. I'm asking you. Secondly, we need to restore the connection. Come into my life. And some would say this, but Pastor John, aren't there lots of ways up the mountain? You know, we live in a pretty progressive world, and people are discovering there's lots of different ways and lots of different attitudes and thoughts and opinions. We'll read some stories about when Jesus was walking around the planet. And just like now, there's lots of people proclaiming lots of different ideas. The Greeks were full of them. The Romans pursued them. They had gods for this and gods for that. Paul goes to Mars Hill and he looks at all these different gods and he says, listen, let me tell you about the one you don't know. He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's the one who sent his son. You see, all these different religions, there's only one whose son, Jesus, whose son died to solve our problem. All those others say, you got to do this, do this, do this, do this to get there. He did it. He paid for it. He's fixed the problem. You see, pretending you're a Christian doesn't cut it. It's helpful. But it's in the same category of people pretending they're married. but I'm doing this and doing that, and it doesn't make you married, does it? It's Jesus Christ coming into our life. It's His death, His resurrection. So this morning, I've presented you with some truths from the Scripture about Jesus Christ. Some people this morning need to get their lives right with Jesus Christ. God, I'm sorry. I started the race and I've wandered away. I want to come back. Maybe you've never started it. You need to pray this. Jesus Christ, come into my life. And the first time, you'll discover the reality of forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ will come and make His home inside of you. If you're unsure that heaven's your home this morning, you need to ask Him back into your life. So who is there this morning that needs to respond to Him? Jesus, I want to finish the race. I made a start. But you know, just like marriage, you might have got married 33 years ago, but what makes a marriage is your relationship today. What makes your relationship with Jesus Christ is your relationship today. Sure, there needs to be a start, and I'm talking about making a start. But those of you who have made a start, are you continuing on in that relationship with Him today? So while the eyes are open in this place, yeah, you and Jesus, who is there that needs to raise their hand and say, Jesus, I need to get some things right with You today. I need to come back in a relationship with You. Who is there that needs to say, Jesus Christ, come into my life for the first time? Can I ask you to look at me just for a moment? Who is there that needs to pray this prayer this morning? Jesus, come into my life. Who is there that needs to pray this? Jesus, I want to come back in relationship with You. If one of those applies to you, you raise your hand this morning, because I'd love to pray for you. I'd love to help you. Jesus, come into my life and come back in a relationship with You. This is you. One of these two is you. Won't you raise your hand right now? Say, God, I'm coming back. God, I'm getting things right. Who's there this morning? This is you. Raise your hand nice and high so I can see. Jesus Christ. Awesome. Good on you, mate. Fantastic. Who else is there this morning? Just waiting a moment. I want to finish the race. I want to fight the fight. I want to receive the prize. Do you need to make a start? Do you need to get back on track? Just waiting a moment. Who else is there? Jesus. Who else is there? Who else is there? Jesus. Holy Spirit. Awesome. You are Lord. I'd like us all to stand. I'd like us to pray. The gentleman who raised his hand, sir, can I pray for you? Would you come? I'd like to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to all join in this prayer this morning together. My name's Don. Great. Pastor Nigel, would you come and stand with me? Come and stand with me. I'll pray with this guy. We'll pray this together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all pray this together, friends. Dear God in heaven, I thank You for Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for me. Jesus, I ask You for Your forgiveness. Wash me clean and transform my life. God, I thank You that today I'm forgiven. I thank You, God, that I'm part of Your family. Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to come and touch this man. Father, I thank You for Your love for him, for Greg. Father, You bless him. Father, whatever's gone on in his life, I thank You for his courage today to sort things with You. My God, I thank you that you would touch him, Father. In the name of Jesus. My Jesus, I thank you. Oh, my Jesus, thank you, Lord. You God, oh God, Rama Sundolama. Arabosh indeed, the Kundola Marri beaded the Mala Marri beaded the Mala Man. Arabosh and Dala Marri Medella Maramund. Transform his life in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. There's a beautiful presence of God here. In 30 seconds, I want to do this. If you've been in pain the last 24 hours, early on we talked about people bringing their friends to Jesus, that God would touch their lives. If you've been in pain during the last 24 hours, would you raise your hand just right now? If you've been in pain in the last 24 hours, pain in your body, just raise your hand. Just keep it up. I'd like some people who are close by you just to open your eyes and put your hand gently on the person's shoulder who's got the hand up. You put your hand up, just put it up again. Just right now, we're going to pray together. Just right now. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, your word tells us that friends brought their friend to Jesus that he might heal them. Jesus, your power is present. Release your power now. Heal bodies, transform lives. Let sickness disappear in Jesus' name. Take authority over the works of the devil. Rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak to these bodies and say, be healed. Be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Let these lives be a walking testimony of the goodness of the Lord. Jesus, your power now transforms lives, transforms lives, transforms lives. The power of Jesus present. The power of Jesus is present. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to spending time with the staff on Tuesday. And leaders and volunteers on Tuesday night. A great word for the leaders and volunteers. My goodness. Pastor Nige, Andrew, what a wonderful church. Let me hand back to you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Don. Let's give Don a hand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Before we go, before we leave, can we just sit down for a moment? We've got an opportunity to be generous this morning. We've already talked about being generous. I'd love to be a blessing to Don and Adrian this morning. Don and Adrian, for those of you who may not know, also Adrian and my overseer. So part of the reason that we have a relationship with Don and Adrian is because it's the church. But we have an opportunity as our church to be a blessing to them and their church. And I'd love us to take up an offering this morning that is a real blessing to this couple, that honours them, that is something that they'll go, you know what? We want to come back to Fremantle. And I know as those of you, as Don said, we've got Tuesday still to come. Looking forward to that. All leaders particularly, please come Tuesday night. But I'd love us to take up an offering. So I want to pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for Don and Adrian. Lord, I thank you for Don. I thank you for his sensitivity, Lord. to the move of God, Father, and what you want to do in people's lives. And I thank you, Father, Lord, for the expansion and growth of C3 Robina and their ministry, and for their health as individuals. Lord, as Paul prays for fellow colleagues, Father, in ministry, Father, I pray the blessing of God, Lord, because we know that this couple are going to bring glory to your name. And Don, like your father, I'm well pleased with you, my son. I am overawed with the way that you have handled yourself through many situations and complex situations and circumstances that have happened, particularly over the last few years. And I would say, I'm putting my arms around you, as it were, and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Can we be a blessing this morning? You think we can do that, church?